Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, for those of you who've been seeing some of my tweets, some of my posts on X earlier this morning, I just had to check the vote in the House, in the Montana House of Representatives. And yeah, I double checked, I triple checked the list. Not one Democrat in the entire Montana House of Representatives voted for the income tax relief plan that is now headed to Governor Greg Gianforte's desk. Not one Democrat voted for it in the House. Now, on the Senate side, earlier this morning, I shared a post on X. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, Micah Drew had a report for a liberal website called the Daily Montanan that pointed out that all but two of the Senate Democrats in the Montana State Senate voted against that same income tax relief plan, giving you some of your money back. All but two. So I had to go pull up the list and see who those two were. Because, you know, if we're going to criticize the Democrats, we should be willing to give credit where credit's due to the Democrats as well. So I sent out a post on X thanking and praising State Senator Shane Morisjoe and State Senator Jonathan Windyboy for supporting the people. Of course, it's our money, not the government. So, yeah, all but two Senate Democrats voted against income tax relief for Montanans. Senators Morisjoe and Windyboy were the two Democrats that actually voted for income tax relief for you. They voted for income tax relief for the people, but not one in the entire state House of Representatives voted in support of income tax relief. Looks unanimous, though. Actually, let me go look and see if any Republicans voted against the income tax relief plan. Let's see here. Nope, the Republicans all voted in support of House Bill 337, which is the income tax relief plan passed by Speaker of the House Brandon Lear. So you had 55 vote yes and 40 no votes. Looks like there were a few that maybe didn't cast a vote. But all of those voting no, all Democrats, all of those voting yes, all Republicans. So House Bill 337, what will that do? What will that tax relief look like? We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. We've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lear joining us live in just a few minutes. But first up, coming up after the break, we should be hearing from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. Jeff Manasso, based out of Chicago, is covering RFK Jr., Health and Human Service, Health and Human Services, and the biggest, the latest news out of the MAHA movement, the Make America Healthy Again movement. What does the banning of all of these food dyes, all of these chemicals that they use, these food dyes in a lot of our products, what does that mean for you, the consumer? What does that mean for our food industry, which is, of course, always a big topic for farmers across Montana? So we'll get into that right after this quick break, right here with Montana Talks. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Congressman Downing with us.
It's April 23rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Book Day, proposed in 1995 by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, also known as UNESCO, to celebrate books and reading. They chose April 23rd because several famous authors died on the day, including William Shakespeare. Also on this day, a new Coca-Cola hit store shelves in 1985. But it didn't go over very well. Soon afterwards, they reintroduced the original Coke as Coca-Cola Classic. In 1975, President Ford gave a speech at Tulane University and spoke of the Vietnam War.
By refighting a war that is finished, as far as America is concerned.
And in 1954, Hank Aaron knocked his first home run out of the park. He'd eventually go on to surpass Babe Ruth's long-standing record. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Nfamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Grocery. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, any minute now, we should be getting a phone call from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. We've got just this one segment that's kind of open here because Congressman Troy Downing is going to join us, I believe, for the full 9 o'clock hour of the show. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear coming up here in just a few minutes. And then after that, Randy Newberg. Some of you, hunters, outdoorsmen, you probably follow Randy Newberg's show, which is based in Bozeman, Montana. But, you know, he's a big advocate for public lands and keeping public lands in public hands. So he wants to speak out on some of these discussions about, you know, potentially leveraging public lands to address the nation's affordable housing crisis. So we're going to talk with Randy Newberg around 8:40 this morning. But, right now we got Jeff Manasso on the phone lines here, Fox News Radio. Jeff, always great to have you on the program. This is kind of the latest news on the MAHA front, the Make America Healthy Again front. Jeff Manasso, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning. So, yeah, this is what Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy has promised to do, and that's make America healthy again, as he announces that that the department, along with the FDA, are going to phase out all petroleum-based artificial food dyes from our nation's food supply. So they announced six dyes that they're going to be scrapping from food and drinks next year. The FDA also plans to revoke authorization for food dyes, two more, within the next coming months. And red dye number three was actually banned in January, but now they're requesting that companies stop using it ahead of the previously established 27-28 deadline because of the risk of links to cancer. And so, these dyes, they're petroleum-based. And that's the thing. And most people maybe don't even know that we've got petroleum-based dyes in our foods. When you think of petroleum, you think of, oil, you think of rubber, you think of plastics. That's in our foods. Metals, that's in our foods. And which begs the question of why. But for now, RFK Jr. says that, this stuff is going to be gone from our foods and we're going to go to more natural, healthy stuff. And if you look at the list, some of the big name products where synthetic dyes can be found include Skittles, M&M's, Trix, Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Pop-Tarts, Tylenol PM, Children's Tylenol. And, research is, into all these dyes is obviously ongoing, but there's some data that suggests that they're not great for our health. And the biggest link is between the dyes and behavioral issues in children.
Yeah, very interesting. On a lighter note, I saw the Babylon Bee. Somebody shared a post on X of one of the Babylon Bee's satirical headlines. Well, what happens next? Does Fruity Pebbles become Whitey Pebbles? How does the food industry respond to this? Or do they figure out alternative ways to coloring the food with different colors? I mean, Europe's already had to figure this out because Europe has already banned some of this stuff in their foods.
Well, what's so interesting is that, many of our American food companies that make this stuff They have they also make the same stuff with natural ingredients that they ship off to Europe because Europe banned these ingredients. So they have the ability to make they make, for example, a product that has synthetic dyes in it, and then they have the same product that's made with natural ingredients. They ship the stuff with synthetic dyes out the door in here across the country. They ship the natural stuff overseas. So they've got the ability to do it. Does anybody really care if their Skittles are going to be, you know, not necessarily as colorful? Maybe not. Research continues we need to continue doing research on exactly the effects of that these ingredients have had. I mean, there was a report published by the California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment back in 2021. It looked at data from human and animal studies and concluded that synthetic food dyes are linked with hyperactivity and neural behavioral problems in children. And so this is just the beginning of RFK Jr.'s quest to make our food healthy again. And, you know, last week he was talking about autism, and he promised to have the root cause of autism by September, which was pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get that. But, you know, he makes a great point. You know, over the last several decades, when a lot of this stuff was being introduced into our foods, into our drinks, into our waters, even ultrasound technology, that's when we started to see spikes of autism, you know, diagnoses. And it was one in 10,000 cases back in 1960. Today, it's one in 31 children are going to be diagnosed with autism. In California, even higher, one in 20. And among boys, it's even higher than that, at 1 in 12.5. So what's different? Is it genetics? Genetics generally don't cause major issues like this.
Is some of it an overdiagnosis, too? But obviously there's more than just overdiagnosis that's going on in this country, yeah. Well, and then on the Maha front, a lot of our ranchers and folks who love beef back here, you know, we look at beef and meat being the original superfood, and yet beef has been discriminated against by our own government. And I know that's something RFK Jr. is looking to fix as well. So something else we'll be looking forward to seeing come out of the Health and Human Services Secretary as well. Well, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, great update as always. Thanks so much for your time. Quick break here with Montana Talks, and then coming up right after that, I mentioned Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear out of Savage. He should be with us right after this. We'll be talking about his income tax relief plan that's now on its way to the governor.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Great Forgetting, collective amnesia, whatever you want to call it, the phenomenon is real. Economic lessons learned in past decades are forgotten and flawed policies come back. Tariffs, price controls, quotas, and rationing. None of these are new ideas, but those who lived through their past uses are no longer in charge, and the wisdom acquired through pain has vanished as well. President Nixon famously imposed wage and price controls in 1971 in an attempt to slow down Vietnam War inflation. And after a honeymoon period when everyone applauded the move, things quickly unraveled, especially when those expecting cost of living increases in their paychecks got the news. But popularity aside, the policy was like a wrecking ball that otherwise ordinary adjustments and unregulated price system would bring about. Some counties were running out of heating oil at the same time as others were awash in surplus, because without a higher price, there was nothing to cover the transportation costs. Smart economists like Milton Friedman pointed these things out, but no one remembers him. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. They say never assume, and when it comes to retirement, there are some assumptions that could hurt you. According to Morningstar, some of them include stock and bond market returns will always be robust. Yes, there are times when long-term gains have been very strong, but there have been stretches when that's not the case. It's recommended that you lower your market return projections and your plan withdrawal rate. Morningstar research found that 3.7% is a safe starting withdrawal percentage on a balanced portfolio over 30 years. And don't assume that inflation will be muted. Use longer-term inflation numbers to help guide planning decisions with 3% a reasonable starting point. Another assumption, you work past 65. Some people leave the workforce earlier than planned due to health, unemployment, or physical demands of the job. And don't assume that you'll be receiving an inheritance. Many adult children can overspend and undersave during their peak earning years, thinking they may receive a windfall, but sometimes that's not the case. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. What if some
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We should have Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr with us any second here. But he's not on the phone lines yet, so that means that we can sneak in one of your phone calls here. Let's see. Ed in the Billings Heights. Ed, what's on your mind? Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, good morning to you. I just wanted to follow up with your earlier news flash about Mexico dumping all their sewage out of there south of San Diego. That's been an ongoing deal since I was a young Navy lieutenant starting my career in 1978 in San Diego.
Wow.
So they're not going to do anything about dumping sewage, just like so many other issues that they continue to not do anything about. So, yeah, that's been an ongoing problem, and as anybody would say, that's got to stop. I'm surprised that all the tourist bureaus and Chamber of Commerce is down that way aren't raising hell about it. So,
well, thanks for your service. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ed, before you go. Yeah. So for our listeners who maybe haven't heard this news yet. Yeah. So the point that I was making was, OK, so here you have all these congressional Democrats going to El Salvador, traveling to El Salvador to go to bat for an illegal alien, to go to bat for an MS-13 gangbanger who was accused of beating up his wife and was also accused of human trafficking. Yet you've got a veteran detained in Venezuela right now. The parents say they can't get help from Senate Democrats. And you've got Navy SEALs who apparently that the sewage problem and the nasty water problem down near Coronado Island coming from Mexico is worse than it's ever been before. And it's like, where are these congressional Democrats? Where have they been? It's always America last.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's time to clean house and get rid of all them Democrats, because that's or let them stay down there in El Salvador until they get their desired issue taken care of, and let's use a little gunboat diplomacy with Venezuela. Just show up one day over the horizon with the fleet and say you're going to turn him loose or you're going to vaporize him.
What'd you do in the Navy, by the way?
I was a dental officer.
All right. Hey, all right. Well, hey, man, it's we always love our dentist. You got to see him every time before you deploy overseas. So
that's exactly right. That's right. So, all right. You're a busy man. I'll let you get. But thanks for listening. And I agree with what you said about the why aren't they doing something about it?
So, yep, it's America last. Yeah, and even no matter how long that water has been dirty, if anybody will finally clean it up. Of course, it's Donald J. Trump. All right. Appreciate your phone call. We got Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr now with us on the phone lines. Mr. Speaker, first off, congratulations. Your income tax relief plan has passed the House. It's passed the Senate. It's headed to the governor. Congratulations.
Appreciate that, Aaron. Thank you.
So give us the overview. Well, first off, anything else you want to tell our listeners, or do you want to just jump right into the income tax relief plan for our legislative update here? I mean, I've got some of the details here in front of me. How would you summarize what your tax relief plan will do for folks across Montana?
Well, it should affect everybody from, you know, the kid getting his first job to the Bella that, you know, is pretty well off. It lowers the top tier down by a half a point over 2 years, a quarter point both years. And then it brings the 4.7 rate, which is the lower rate. So now somebody making up to $120,000 will be paying 4.7. So it actually lowered their rate by a full point, well, 1.2. And what we're trying to do, I guess, is working to get Montana to a flat income tax. So that way, you know, once you get to that, level, it's awfully hard to raise income tax, because now you're raising income tax on everybody, not just a certain group of people. And so, worked with anybody that was willing to work with me on it, and like you said, it's heading to the governor's desk now.
So basically, yeah, it expands who is eligible to be in that lower tax bracket, because right now almost everybody is in the upper tax bracket. So what your bill does is expands vastly how many people would be included in the lower bracket, drops that down, but then also eventually over time starts to chip away at that upper income tax bracket as well. It's slightly different from the governor's plan, which would have just lowered it for everybody across the board, but sounds like a much better compromise plan than what was coming out of the Senate initially.
Yeah, correct.
What are you hearing from the governor? Do you think the governor will sign it, even though it's a little different from his income tax relief plan?
Yeah, no, I've talked with the governor, had quite a few meetings with him, and yes, it will get signed.
All right. Well, that's good news. There's a big one, because, man, I tell you what, a week ago, I know you were frustrated when we caught up with you last Wednesday. It's like, what the heck is going on back there? You get a handful of Republicans, not just in the Senate with the nine, but you get a handful of Republicans in the House, and they're constantly voting to raise all the spending, to spend more of our money, and it's like, where's the income tax relief? Where's the property tax relief? All this stuff. So finally, here we got one significant accomplishment here on the income tax front.
Yeah, and I mean, we're still working. We heard a big property tax proposal yesterday. Senator Galt had Senate Bill 542, which we amended, and we believe it's also a good compromise. It isn't exactly what I would say is my best case scenario, but it's something that we can get across the floor and is going to hopefully have a real impact on, 230,000 Montana homeowners across the state.
You know, the thing I love about income tax relief is that money goes back in our pockets. We get to keep more of our own money. Property tax relief, you know, I'm glad to hear that it sounds like we will get property tax relief across the finish line before the end of the session. But at the end of the day, if you live in a city like Missoula, in a county like Missoula, the Democrats there will just take whatever the state gives you back. They'll figure out a way to steal that money from you once again. With income tax relief, it's like, you get it, you got it.
Yep. No, I agree. And, you know, that income tax bill is roughly $300,000 that were taken away from state government. And, you know, shrinking the amount that Montana taxpayers pay into state government. And you're exactly right. I mean, in my view, property taxes, I guess we never really own our property. We rented from the government. And anyway, without actually cutting spending at the local level, it's going to be real hard to make a meaningful impact. But we need to keep fighting on that front. I mean, up here we're in charge of assessments and setting rates. And so we're trying to come up here and do our job now. It's up to, you know, everybody in the state of Montana to make sure that their local governments are, spending, they're being frugal with the dollars that we send them.
On the income tax relief on your House Bill 337, I saw not one Democrat voted for it in the House. All the Republicans voted for it, so good job holding the Republicans together on that one. And in the Senate, two Democrats actually voted for your income tax relief plan, but the rest of them voted against it. I thought the Democrats told us they were going to start focusing on kitchen table issues, and yet here they are, all but two of them, basically voting against income tax relief. And yet most of the Democrats, if not all of them, also voted to allow men into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. So I thought they were going to focus on kitchen table issues.
Yeah, their kitchen table's a little bit different than mine, I would say. You're correct.
Yeah, I'm not even going to ask what's on their kitchen table. We don't want to know. We don't want to know. You stay out of our house. You stay out of our back pocket. We'll stay out of yours. What's some of the other good news, or what else are you really trying, in addition to property tax relief, what else are you really trying to get done here in the final few days?
Well, we passed another bill to increase the exemption on business equipment tax. That's another one that hits, you know, Montana small business owners and farmers and ranchers alike. And that's still got one more hurdle in appropriations to get through. Some of the bills that we've passed out on, you know, that are heading to the governor's desk, we've got Pro Tem Zolnikoff's Child Digital Protection Act. Representative Mitchell, we just yesterday passed Bobby's Law, which creates a new charge for aggravated vehicular homicide while you're under the influence of alcohol. We've revised indecent exposure laws. We have passed a lot of good conservative policy in the last, you know, 80 days. It's just been, you know, like every session, it's had its ups and downs and its struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think this deadline is finally forcing a little bit of unity here?
Yeah. I think at the end it has to. And at the end, it forces everybody to come to the table, and we try to get whatever you can get. And, I mean, obviously, as the saying goes, 51, 26, and 1, we just find out what we can do. And, you know, sometimes you got to leave a little bit on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how we just got just a few days left. I know a lot of the massive spending, I know it's been frustrating you. I know it's been frustrating Senate President Matt Regeer. I've got to hope that it's frustrating the governor as well. Maybe we'll lead to some vetoes here.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, we're still, oh, man, I would say we're still 250 to, you know, 300 million overspent, if not more. And out of balance. And, you know, some of that's OTO money and some of that's ongoing money. And it, you know, we have to continue to try to hold the line on spending. And I know that it's been a struggle in the House to, we've had, you know, anything ranging from $37 million to give out Ozempic to $120 million tax credit program to, you know, just a slew of it.
There's a constitutional requirement to balance that budget. So if they're overspending, it's got to be stopped. Yeah.
Yeah. Their only true job when you come up here is to balance the budget. And this session, it's been tough.
All right. We got to hold it right there. Got to hit the hard break here. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the update.
Wednesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show will break down the absolute latest on all the drama surrounding the tariff wars. Plus, we'll be joined by Trump Cabinet Secretary Doug Burgum to break down what he is seeing from inside of the administration. All that and more. Make sure you don't miss it. Come hang with us on the Wednesday edition of Clay and Buck.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I get a lot of emails in my inbox, and I'll get some from some PR firms saying, hey, would you like to have this guest on your show? And a lot of it's like, oh, man, I was like, yeah, you know, unless there's a Montana angle to it. But I saw this one. I said, hey, it's an interview opportunity with Randy Newberg, who is the host of the hunting shows Fresh Tracks and On Your Own Adventures. And I thought, heck yeah, it'd be great to catch up with Randy Newberg. Lives in Bozeman, Montana. And anyway, Randy Newberg now with us here on Montana Talks. Randy, great to catch up with you. Thanks for freeing up some time for us here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. Nice to catch up with you again.
I'm jealous. You know, I love doing what I do. I love talking, you know, news, politics, and, you know, and oftentimes that's hunting or, you know, SpaceX flying jets around Bozeman or whatever. But, man, to have your own hunting show and that be your job, that be your life, oh, that's just incredible.
Yeah, I feel blessed to live in Montana. You know, 35 years as a CPA. Maybe this is my reward for doing that. I don't know. But I feel lucky.
Yeah. So the kind of the topic today, I know you've long time been an advocate for, you know, public lands, especially for the outdoor opportunities, hunting opportunities, fishing opportunities, et cetera, you know, and public lands and keeping public lands in public hands, especially for those hunting opportunities in particular. Tell us why you wanted to sound off today.
Well, you know, our Montana delegation has been the leaders in D.C. on this stuff. You know, Congressman Zinke introduced a bill last Congress, and he reintroduced it this Congress. He's got a Democratic supporter, and it's just that, you know, public lands and public hands, and he's trying to keep people focused on, let's have productive land management. That's probably the thing that frustrates most of us in Montana is through litigation, through all kinds of other stuff, we just don't have the productivity on our public lands that we could. And so some people say, well, let's just sell them. And well, you know this also, Congressman Zinke's always been there on the public land issue, and Senator Dayne, Senator Sheehy, same thing. They've both been very good advocates on it, but there's a lot of pressures coming to try tell them, hey, come on, let's sell these things, or let's, you know, parcel it off for supposedly low-income housing or whatever else. And I just want Montanans to understand that we've got some leaders on that, and wherever we can, we should be supporting their efforts on that, because there's definitely pressure in D.C. to maybe sell parts or pieces of this stuff. And Montanans, even with all the flaws maybe public lands have in its management, Montanans definitely support the idea of having these public lands.
Yeah, you know, because of the fact that we've got $36 trillion plus in debt, national debt, $2 trillion yep. deficit that Donald Trump inherited from Joe Biden. Yes, some have thrown out the idea of selling, you know, federal lands, selling public lands in order to address the deficit and the debt. And very clearly, Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy said that is a non-starter. And I think they even had a vote already against that yep. very thing.
Yeah, I was back in D.C. Earlier this month and met with Senator Daines, and he pretty much said, don't worry, you know where I'm going to be at on this. And when that vote came, he and Senator Sheehy were. And so I want people to understand that our Montana delegation's always under pressure on things like this. But they've been in the place that represents the kind of the opinion, any poll you take about Montanans, you know, 80 to 90% support public lands. But the other thing that they're pushing for, they have the Fix Our Forests Act. And that's to resolve some of these issues that frustrate us with public land management. And I want them to be able to get that pushed through and focus on that and get rid of the distraction of, well, let's just sell them. Because that's kind of the easy way out. And I appreciate that our delegation is there trying to do the hard work to fix these problems.
Well, and frankly, I think, look, fixing what we've got to do instead of chopping away at America piece by piece to try to raise money to address our debt, how about we chip away at all of this massive federal government spending? How about we start making mining in America great again, making our timber industry great again, and that will bring in more revenue. We make the Trump tax cuts permanent. That will bring in more revenue over the long. I mean, President Trump has already announced investment after investment. Investment of all these companies that are investing in manufacturing in America once again. And so we don't need to, you know, to sell off this stuff to pay for it. What do you think about, yeah, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, coming from a logging family, my brother's, he's still the logger in the family. I'm fully aware of the complications that, say, a small logging business has and how that type of activity is affected by litigation, by all this other stuff. 35 years as CPA, you know, my job was disinheriting the federal treasury. I'm all about lower taxes, more efficiency, less spending. And I think there's so many ways to do that. We start selling our assets when we have a collective, whether you want to say Congress or whatever, administrations over the years. They aren't willing to correct their spending habits, but we start selling our assets without correcting the spending problem. pretty soon we still have a spending problem, but no remaining assets. I mean, that makes common sense to any business owner or any household.
One of the things that I find frustrating is it's like, oh, all of a sudden some of the folks that on the left and especially from the radical environmental community, you're like, now all of a sudden they're chanting public lands in public hands. But when Joe Biden was housing illegal aliens on public lands on National Park Service lands, all of a sudden I didn't hear them talking about public lands in public hands. So, you know, but now that there's an idea to potentially house Americans on public lands, that now all of a sudden they're back to their chant again, and so it's like I feel like those folks need to be called out as well. Like if you're going to object now, you should have objected when illegal aliens were being housed on public lands.
Yeah, that's the problem when the elements on the fringes start dragging this stuff around. You know, you look at 2020, Senator Steve Daines put together what's called the Great American Outdoors Act. It fully funded this program called the Land and Water Conservation Fund. We've been working on it for years and years. President Trump signs it, and it's one of the landmark pieces of legislation in the last 40 years when it comes to funding and permanently funding these access things of how you buy, you know, manage in holdings or acquire in holdings through easements or whatever. And nobody gave them the credit for that. And I take every opportunity I can to say, hey, in my adult lifetime, one of the best bills ever passed in 2020, and here's the guys who are responsible for it. And that's just a continuation of the legacy that Senator Daines has with public lands. And I just want to encourage people to support him and the rest of our delegation when they do that.
Yeah, there was a lot in the environmental community who did not want to give Senator Daines the credit for things like that, or President Trump. I think there was one, if I remember his name right, Clayton Elliott, you know, who was a prominent Democrat and environmentalist, and he actually did. He actually praised Senator Daines for it, and I think the Democrats got pretty mad at him, but he showed that he's a man of integrity by not letting partisan politics get in the way. What I really loved, too, about the Great American Outdoors Act was they allowed LWCF funds to be used for infrastructure as well, because oftentimes the federal government, they love going out and buying land, but they don't like to take care of that land, and that's what the Great American Outdoors Act also allowed was, hey, let's leverage some of these offshore oil dollars to also invest in our infrastructure, especially in our national parks.
Yep. Yeah, that was a huge problem everyone knew was out there. And again, it got solved. That people have been arguing and trying to solve that for 20 years. And it got solved, and hardly anyone was willing to give the credit where it's due. And right now, Senator Daines is back there representing us on public lands, and he's got critics on, it seems like, both sides. It's not an easy place for him to be, but he's doing good stuff for Montana by doing that, and hopefully we all appreciate it, and we can get our public lands managed better. That's as simple as I can make it, or as complicated as I can make it.
Yeah.
We want better managed public land, and we want access to it.
I've got to take a break here in about a minute. Randy, do you want to come back after the break, or do you got to run?
I'm open for whatever you want to visit on it.
Perfect. All right. Yeah, stick around with us. Well, while we got less than a minute to go here, about 45 seconds before the break, Randy Newberg, the host of Fresh Tracks and On Your Own Adventures, based in Bozeman, Montana. What have been the biggest outdoor stories you've been chatting about recently?
Oh, boy. When the Montana legislature's in session, you never know what story is going to hit your desk that day. But
lots of wolves. Yeah.
Yeah. Wolves, elk. You know, if there's one thing about Montana, we have an abundance of wildlife in most places, so we get to argue about that abundance rather than argue about the scarcity.
oftentimes, that's for sure. All right, well, hold that thought. Yeah, more with Randy Newberg joining us here on Montana Talks. We'll come back to him right after the break. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be taking your phone calls as Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing joins us here in studio on the show.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
That is the definition of dark woke. What does it really mean? What does all this mean? Is they don't have a clue. They don't have the courage either to stand up and have an introspective moment and to have a course correction that understands that this country voted for dramatic, drastic change. America wants their borders secure. America wants criminals deported. America wants illegals deported. These are 70, 30, 80, 20 issues. America wants to eliminate waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. They call it a constitutional crisis.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Warning! Inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money. Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by visiting HannityGold.com or calling 855-815-GOLD. You can even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival wrapped in Indio, California, with Post Malone bringing on a couple of guests after a guest-free first weekend. Country singer Jelly Roll and Ed Sheeran joined Malone, with Jelly Roll taking the stage for his collaboration with Malone, Losers. That's off Malone's country album, F1 Trillion. Jelly Roll will open for Malone's upcoming stadium tour starting April 29th in Salt Lake City. Ed Sheeran jumped on stage with him as well and covered Swae Lee's parts on Sunflower later in the set. Sheeran had a busy day. He was a surprise performer. The British singer performed 11 songs and debuted his new single, Azizam. He played at a smaller tent and another style, like an English pub called the Old Phone Pub. Video show, Sheeran performing with Shaboozy and Alex Warren. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Spring is here. The year.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Randy Newberg joining us here on Montana Talks. You know, Randy and I were chatting a little bit more during the break there, and it's so frustrating when we look at, you know, because we're talking also about affordable housing. How do we build more affordable housing? And some folks are saying, hey, maybe we should leverage our federal lands, our public lands, to build more affordable housing. That was even a discussion that came up in the state legislature, and I think that idea quickly got shelved. But yeah, Randy, I think you and I share the same frustration here, which is in a lot of our Montana towns or cities like Billings, like Bozeman, even Kalispell has challenges with this. But Billings and Bozeman in particular, Missoula, they make it so hard to build in the city limits that it pushes people to build outside the city limits, whether it's affordable housing or not. And then they're tearing up that great, you know, irrigated agricultural land, or they're tearing up that wildlife habitat. And that can be so frustrating.
Yeah, I live in here in Bozeman. Anyone who's driven through here often in the last 20 years says, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Aaron. It's, I think it was last year they said an average house in Bozeman sold for $850,000. We have tons of private land within city limits that could still be used for housing. But I don't think going and selling acreage and big, you know, Forest Service land and Big Sky or other public land around Bozeman is going to do anything for the cost of housing. There's so many other factors that you talk about, but we do have people on both sides of the aisle that their livelihoods, their communities aren't attached to public lands. So they just look at it and say, yeah, let's figure out a way to sell some of that. And we'll go home and tell the voters that we help lower the cost of housing, even though we all know that's not going to work. But the affordable housing issue is one that some groups are trying to leverage for whatever reasons they want to do it.
What about some more targeted efforts? I think down in Vail, Colorado, it's kind of a bipartisan effort down there where, you know, they needed more worker housing, more employee housing, you know, in some of these, you know, resort communities like Vail. And so they did leverage some public lands to help with worker housing. And then, you know, like in Yellowstone National Park, you've got, you know, the workers in the national parks that live in housing on public lands in the national parks. Could there be more efforts like what's going on in Vail in places like, say, Gardner, Montana, or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I think if you looked at where are the precise targeted places, West Yellowstone, Gardner, Montana, you know, those are the kind of places where you do need employee housing for these, say, a national park. They tried this in Vegas. They had the Southern Nevada Land Management Act that Harry Reid got passed, and they earmarked 66,000 acres around Vegas that can be sold. They've sold 17,000 acres of it, and only less than 100 of that 17,000 has went towards affordable housing. And the houses now built on the west side of Vegas out on that former public land sell for $1 to $4 million. So very often, you know, when the government comes up with a program like that, it doesn't end up curing the quote unquote problem that they say existed. And so we have evidence to show that it really doesn't work. And we got a lot of other issues that contribute to affordable housing. I think we all want more affordable housing. But the opportunists who'd want to use selling public land, fortunately, again, we got a Montana delegation that says, no, we're not in favor of that.
Well, Randy Newberg, it's been great catching up with you. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. We'll have to do this more often.
Aaron, anytime. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much for being with us here. We got to hit the hard break, get to your national news here at the top of the hour. And then Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing in the House. I think he's with us for the full hour. Yeah, he's with us for the full hour. So that'll be great. We'll take your phone calls and more. You can call it a Montana town hall meeting here with Congressman Troy Downing. Man, I don't even know what topics I'm going to bring up with him. And then you can call in and bring up a topic as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Great Forgetting, collective amnesia, whatever you want to call it, the phenomenon is real. Economic lessons learned in past decades are forgotten and flawed policies come back. Tariffs, price controls, quotas, and rationing. None of these are new ideas, but those who lived through their past uses are no longer in charge, and the wisdom acquired through pain has vanished as well. President Nixon famously imposed wage and price controls in 1971 in an attempt to slow down Vietnam War inflation. And after a honeymoon period when everyone applauded the move, things quickly unraveled, especially when those expecting cost of living increases in their paychecks got the news. But popularity aside, the policy was like a wrecking ball that otherwise ordinary adjustments and unregulated price system would bring about. Some counties were running out of heating oil at the same time as others were awash in surplus, because without a higher price, there was nothing to cover the transportation costs. Smart economists like Milton Friedman pointed these things out, but no one remembers him. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.